We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
We're reacting to the 2021 NFL Draft on Roto-Viz Radio.
What's up, Roto-Viz?
Welcome into the Roto-Viz Fantasy Football Show. I'm Dave Cabin alongside Curtis Patrick. We're two of the owners here at Roto-Viz. Unfortunately, Curtis was out last week. Travis absolutely crushed it, though, filling in. A reminder, definitely listen to the College to Canton podcast. Check out everything that Travis does. But Curtis, let's quickly get your thoughts just reacting to the draft, how exciting you thought it was. There were any major surprises? I had the awesome time talking to you, Sean, Blair, Travis after the draft at our ranking summit. So I have some of the ideas of what you're thinking, but some more time has, you know, passed now. Are you still riding a high from this draft?
Yeah, I am. It's definitely been an emotional journey, though. You know, there's all of this investment that goes in literally months. I mean, I really start taking the next year's draft, you know, as a serious dynasty player, as a content producer, you know, as a co-owner of a site, thinking about, you know, what do our subscribers need? I mean, really from about October on, I mean, I'm acutely focused on, okay, what is this class really looking like? Starting to formulate thoughts, starting to inform, you know, value equations for trading and, you know, how many picks do I really want this year? All that stuff. And then the individual profile work. And then you have the draft and it's, you know, all this buildup. You know, it's, you know, you're going to prom, it's wedding night, you know, whatever, you know, it's like the actual event. And then, you know, then the afterglow, is it positive? Is it negative? And I felt like our team, you know, we were excited about some landing spots. We were also really frustrated by some landing spots and by some of the specific things that the teams did with players that we really liked. I know, you know, Sean was highly frustrated with Urban Meyer and his selection of Travis Etienne in the first round and just really, you know, hated it. And I was praying that, you know, Najee Harris wouldn't go to Pittsburgh because of the line problems. Now, luckily they did invest there just a little bit. But you know, that I kind of wished he would have gone to a place that was better equipped up front for him and his style in year one. And then, you know, some of the receivers, you know, we all liked Rashad Bateman and he goes to a low volume passing offense that also invested in wide receiver, you know, a couple years ago and through free agency. And, you know, there's just, you know, scenario after scenario after scenario, but then the dust settles. And what's happening is some of these players, and we're going to talk about some of them in the next few episodes, Dave, some of these players that go in the middle of the NFL draft because of positional biases that exist in fantasy football, they're rising up the board. And some of these receivers who we were maybe didn't think hit from a situation perspective for year one, now they look like bargains. And so I'm just, the excitement's all back all over again. And, you know, the rookie drafts and all my FFPC leagues and some of my other dynasty leagues certainly helped that. But I think it was a perfect rescue attempt by some of these middle round running backs to push themselves up the board and, you know, rescue the value, or I guess maybe it helps protect against the relative or perceived downside of some of the receivers landing in suboptimal scenarios. So yes, very, very excited. I've got so many takes stored up that, you know, didn't get to share last week with Travis standing in. So very pumped up for an awesome trio of episodes this week, Dave.
Awesome. Yeah. So we are going to stick talking about rookies this week. Next week, we'll get back into some implications where we're talking more so about things that could also apply to redraft leagues. Although I do think that everything we're going to talk about with these players is pertinent to redraft leagues. I've always been the person on the site that's been more focused on redraft than other players, and I still think that it's super important to cover all of these. I was in some rookie drafts over the weekend. To your point, it's been interesting to see Michael Carter and Trey Sermon now in some of my leagues making their way into that sphere in the first round where they're going ahead of guys like Rondale Moore, which has been really interesting. So I normally am excited about the opportunity to get various players when I'm in that first weekend of all of my rookie drafts. But it was funny because I kept needing to take Rondale Moore because in one of my leagues, he even fell to the 112. And at that point, I'm taking Rondale Moore, pretty much without any hesitation. So it's been interesting to see how things have fallen out. We have Trey Sermon in some of my leagues creeping up to like the 106. He's the player we're going to lead off with. I've also been really surprised to see the reaction even for players like Kenneth Gainwell getting into the mix around the turn of the first round in some of my leagues. And the interesting thing always for me is the group of players that are in these leagues in some cases seem to value certain players. And then in another league, you'll see this player fall to the third round. So I'm curious, as we work our way through some of these names, where you've landed now that you've had some time to think about them. Henry the Cat is really making his presence known. Curse, I don't know if you've really got to see him a lot on the podcast yet, but you are getting a full slate of Henry tonight. Nonetheless, let's make our way into talking about these players. We're going to lead off with Trey Sermon going to San Francisco at pick 88, a spot that I think a lot of people viewed as one that would be a great landing spot for any running back. Now, I know that we had talked about him a couple of times, that we liked him, had an interesting profile. If you tried to look just for that raw production, there wasn't too much that you could point to except a terrific stretch after he took over for Master Teague at Ohio State. The athletic profile is all right, but I think people are going to look past that because he's going to a San Francisco team where last year you had Jeff Wilson leading the way in attempts. Raheem Mostert was banged up, only played 8 games, had 104 attempts. Jerick McKinnon, 81 attempts. The ball was spread all around. We know that's something Kyle Shanahan likes to do. Do we see Trey Sermon come in, assert himself in this offense, be his right off the bat? How are we feeling about Trey Sermon?
Well, as you mentioned, you and I think of the five rankers were the highest on Trey Sermon. I've liked him, you know, really dating back to 2017 as a freshman at Oklahoma in my Devy leagues. He's a player I've owned a lot of. And so I've, you know, just naturally followed, you know, his career as it's developed. And, you know, if it wasn't for just a very weird 2019 where he seemed to be kind of usurped by some lesser players at Oklahoma and really taking that step back after that exciting sophomore breakout campaign with 13 rushing TDs, that's what really derailed him. And so he transfers. And he transfers during a COVID season. It takes a bit to assert himself in the Ohio State backfield. You know, Master Teague was someone who, you know, had invested a lot of time, was a highly touted recruit for Ohio State. And so it's natural that it takes a little bit of time for Sermon to overtake him. But, you know, when he did, as you mentioned, I mean, he really looked brilliant, looked like a difference-making type player. This is just a profile that was really, you know, laden with context And you have to understand what happened with the player. And, you know, ultimately for his career, over 450 rushing attempts, averaged nearly 6.5 yards per carry against, you know, stout Power 5 competition in the Big 12 and especially in the Big 10. He's a decent receiver. You know, he's got adequate speed, you know, 51st percentile, a 40 time, a 57th percentile shuttle. You know, you move a little bit, an elite three cone, 92nd percentile three cone, and very explosive. You can tell that, you know, by those jumps at 87th percentile broad and 78th percentile vert. You know, he's just really an interesting player. And to land in San Francisco, you know, he's one of these players that really did probably hit an optimal. He got the day two draft capital, which we weren't sure about. So he goes on the right side of that. And then he lands in a Shanahan offense that's just, you know, whether it was him or his dad, you know, it's produced a lot of fantasy studs over the years, certainly players with a lot less draft capital than what Sermon ended up with. So Raheem Mostert, I've heard that he is a potential summer cap casualty. Could he be included in a potential Julio Jones deal? You know, the irons are really getting hot on a Julio to San Francisco move, and, you know, perhaps running back being a need for Atlanta. There's something that happens there to help get that deal done. But yeah, I'm really excited about Trey Sermon. I don't know if he'll lock the backfield down in year one, but you have to like him to really break out at some point during his rookie contract in this system. When they invested what they did with all the other playmakers, I tend to think San Francisco is going to be a pretty good squad here in the short term. Maybe not in 2021, but certainly in 2022. And Sermon should, you know, reap the benefits of that. So I drafted a lot of them in my dynasty leagues that draft before the NFL draft and had the Devy shares as well. Actually, will not probably have any of them in actual dynasty rookie drafts, though, because of what he costs. And yep. You know, I still believe that some of the higher drafted wide receivers are better investments for us, Dave.
Yes. So I agree with that point. From my perspective, this landing spot really did propel him up to the point where you can make a very solid argument about him being the fourth running back in this class. Now, I tend to think that he should be. And I mean, he's a 22-year-old running back coming in. When you look at the other group of players that they have there, there is not much of a reason that you shouldn't default to the fact that at some point he's going to step in and at least very seriously challenge to come in and be the 1A there, if not the main guy. Of course, we know it's a team where they're, you know, maybe not ever going to go to that true just system where they're running with one guy. But I feel very good about Trey Sermon now. I actually almost reached for him on a couple of spots, still lean towards this stronger class of wide receivers, but I think that's a testament when I'm starting to think about that, about how I feel about the landing spot. So that is pretty exciting. Let's move along, though. Now, a player that I'm just going to come with it, Nico Collins. What do you make with this, right? Because he's going to a team in Houston where there's a lot of uncertainty right now. We don't know what's going to happen with Deshaun Watson. But if you look at this group of pass catchers that are there now, Will Fuller, not going to be there. Randall Cobb, so old. Brandon Cooks, right?
That's the note. That's the note on Randall Cobb.
That's the note so on old. Randall Cobb, right? Kiki Kute. Like, you know, Chad Hansen, Kenny Stills, Stephen Mitchell, DeAndre Carter, Isaiah Coulter. These were the guys in that offense last year. There's no reason to think that if you have a rookie that is very talented coming into this system, they should have a very decent chance of finding target share. The question is, though, is that going to be a target share that we should be interested in? Nico Collins was interesting to me.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast.
And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Heading into the draft as a player that was 6'4", 215, one of the larger players in the class, a freak score in the 96th percentile, 92nd speed score, played his college ball, for those of you that need the reminder, at Michigan. Only 13 receiving touchdowns, though, on 27 games in his career. Didn't reach a 30% receiving dominator, so it's not like you can lock him in as this superior transcendent college talent. People that might be looking for a landing spot to sell them on it, though, you know, maybe they're going to lean towards him landing in Houston. I'm looking at your face. You don't seem sold on that on that argument. What's your take on him? Look, no one's perfect. Even the best baseball players strike out with the bases loaded. The best golfers sometimes three-putt with the tournament on the line. So if you feel like you come up short in the bedroom sometimes, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go to GetRoman.com/RotoViz now. With Roman, you get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A U.S.-licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication's appropriate, it ships to you free with two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/RotoViz and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving home. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/RotoViz now to get $15 off your first month. Look, there's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. GetRoman.com/RotoViz. Get started now to save $15 on your first month of treatment.
It all hinges on Deshaun Watson, right? Nico Collins' profile in itself is not something that would have me excited at all. He would be kind of like if you were a non-Trey Sermon believer as a prospect and he lands in San Francisco, however you adjust his profiles, perhaps how you would adjust it with this landing spot in Houston, because there's an easy path to volume.
Yep.
But is the volume coming from Tyrod Taylor or Deshaun Watson? Is it coming from Davis Mills? I mean, who is going to be throwing him the ball? And, as you mentioned, he didn't truly break out by RotoViz standards with that, that 30% dominator. There are many sites. And, we also recognize the value of at least hitting 20%. If you don't hit 30%, that is a good thing. He did do that as a sophomore and a junior. But, just averaged 3 receptions per game in 2018 and 2019. The reason he posted those dominator ratings really had to do with his share of the receiving touchdowns, because he only had a 17% market share of receptions and just a 23% market share of receiving yards. The touchdowns are a little bit misleading there. Nico Collins has size. That's good. So he's going to be unique in that Houston offense, Brandon Cooks being, kind of the lead dog there, obviously a totally different type of player. So I don't know. I mean, I think I chalk it up to the, maybe something will happen here category. Donovan Peoples-Jones certainly looked a little bit better with Cleveland than he ever looked at Michigan.
Yeah.
So same offense and, was a teammate there. It's possible that Harbaugh offense and the lack of Wolverines, strong QB play over the last couple of years has held down, some talented players. And so we have to keep that, potentially in mind. I think he's a speculative buy. He was really off my board. Really would have not had any shares of him except for this landing spot. So for me, he'd be, very interesting in the late third to early fourth round of a draft on a team if I needed a wide receiver. But he's not somebody like, you're looking at a late second round guy, or like, I'm not trading a next year's pick to get back into a draft to take Nico Collins. That's probably the the best advisement I can give there. What about you, Dave? Are you rosier on his outlook?
No, I'm not. I think that for me, he was a guy heading into the draft where, you know, it sounds so cliche to say, but in the right spot. But what I mean, I think, or the way I was framing it was more like on just a good team where maybe he can be used in certain situations. They can, you know, you could pencil him in for more goal line work or for high quality opportunities. And that's not to say that, you know, there isn't a way that Houston could use him, but with the situation being unclear, it's hard for me to picture a way that he comes in, even maybe with Deshaun Watson, and gets used in a way that elevates him up to the type of status where I feel like there's enough upside with this pick for me to forego some of the other players that I've seen go behind him. I do want to say Randall Cobb, I need to apologize to the man. He's only 30, but as a fantasy football player, he feels like he's a good 38 years old. So,
hey, man, easy, Dave. 30 is a young man by my standards, and 38 doesn't seem so old by my standards, although that would be my senior. So, it does feel like ancient history, and certainly Cobb hasn't really been relevant, you know, absent Aaron Rodgers as a signal caller. So, yeah, I think, you know, with Nico Collins, just to tag on there, a final, you know, thought before we move on to maybe a perhaps more exciting player that we'll talk about to round out the episode here. If Nico Collins ends up taking Sammy Watkins' place, you know, in Kansas City, you know, I think that's the outcome that we're looking for with a player like this, or even maybe a sneakier landing spot could have been, you know, Tennessee replacing Corey Davis, something like that. More dynamic offense, and certainly less confusion around what's happening with the plan for the team, the general direction of the team, and the quarterback that's going to be throwing the ball. So, I don't know. I mean, I think his ADP is going to be, you know, be very spiky. And so I don't even know, you know, certainly every player is going to have an ADP, but I think, you know, his bars, he could really go anywhere from the mid second to undrafted and rookie drafts, and nothing would surprise me. So if Nico Collins is on your board, I think the third round's a safe place to target him, and you probably will generally be able to get him there. That's probably all I have to say about Nico. If you want him, here's what you got to pay. But right. I'm not advocating for selecting him. I'd rather, at that point in the draft, I'd rather, you know, potentially, you know, transition to some of our tight end premium tight end targets, or maybe even flyer running backs. I just don't see it there for Nico.
Yeah. When one of the best thoughts we can muster with something along the lines of that's all I have to say, you know, it's not a good sign. All right. Anthony Schwartz to the Browns at pick 91. Player out of Auburn, not much of a touchdown scorer in his college career. Almost broke out with a 0.29 dominator in his 2020 age 20.3 season at Auburn. Really, really fast player. You know, like a 98th, 99th percentile 40-yard dash. Weighs 186. So when you adjust for speed, though, it still puts him in the 90th percentile. He is heading to a Cleveland Browns team where you have a number of guys already entrenched. You already mentioned Donovan Peoples-Jones this episode. He is going to be on that roster. Obviously, you have OBJ, Jarvis Landry, Rashard Higgins had 52 targets there last year. You are the Browns member of this podcast. What do you think of Anthony Schwartz going to Cleveland?
I think he's going to have a role right away. We're going to see him every week. I don't expect that Rashard Higgins or DPP will be able to hold him off. Neither one of them has the speed, and those guys are really projecting more as the perimeter replacements for, you know, OBJ and Jarvis Landry. That's certainly how we saw them, you know, used last year. Schwartz also will be interesting in that when he's on the field, you know, do you actually put him outside and let him run people off and let Landry get back down into the slot a little bit more like he did earlier in his career? Cleveland's used Landry as a more, you know, total receiver. And it's been interesting to see him develop more of a downfield attack with Baker in some spots. And as a huge Jarvis Landry fan, I've really enjoyed watching that. But Schwartz, I mean, he just, like you said, he's got rare speed. He has a gear that no one else on this squad has. When you look at players with this profile, in our RotoViz box score scout, his top sims, now that we've got, you know, the draft pick solved for, and we've got, you know, all of the workout information on him, you know, some of his sims are players that have showed up for us in fantasy, haven't necessarily been projectable, save one or two with long seasons, but there's some names there that are, I think, will be interesting. So Jacoby Ford, for those of you that played fantasy long enough, was a very trendy player about a decade ago, a little more than a decade ago, had a profile very similar, sub 4.340, weighed the same. Travis Benjamin, former Brown, former Charger, definitely was usable for a short spell in fantasy. Curtis Samuel, we have a couple misses here, you know, with Lewis Murphy, but he had lower draft capital. Kiki QT, you know, the jury's still out. But Paris Campbell, DJ Chark, Darius Slayton, I mean, these are names where, okay, you know, what if OBJ can't stay healthy? And you know, what if Schwartz could become, you know, the number two? The Browns have talked really about only one change in their offense for 2021 versus 2020. They said they wanted to become more explosive. And so when I see them add a player like this, I mean, presumably Schwartz was drafted for one reason and one reason only. Like, let's push those safeties back. So it's either going to be him being the one making those explosive plays, or he's going to be opening it up for those other studs to make those plays. But this is a significant investment. You also think about this being potentially the last year that we have both Beckham and Landry in Cleveland. This is much more interesting to me than Collins, because of Schwartz's age, because he did it in the SEC, because he was so much closer to actually breaking out. You know, if we want to round up generously, you know, maybe we can say that he did. I think I know the guys that edit our databases. This is of the players that we've talked about and wanting to select them at ADP. So the three players in this episode, Schwartz is the most interesting to me. I think Sermon's going to be overinflated, as we talked about. Collins just wasn't impressive enough in college to justify the investment versus other players available there. And Schwartz is really the one that my interest is funneling towards.
Dude, I am in complete agreement with that. I actually find it fairly exciting. And it's interesting how when you contrast it with a guy like Collins, who's going to a team where you don't have two guys that at points in their career have been superstars and some other young players that you can make a strong case for keeping a role in that offense, that I'm going to be more excited about Schwartz. But it's kind of like the idea with Collins that really the only thing I could point to was his size. And even at that, you know, 215 doesn't propel him into like a 225 type of range. It's not like, you know, one where you can really sell the argument as him being this huge specimen. Collins, you know, that's like the best I could do. Schwartz, though, like you mentioned, the speed, that is kind of like an X factor that he has. It's a profile that doesn't always work, but it's going to be in the context of an offense that I have a lot more faith in right now. This is a team that should be challenging to make its way into the playoffs. It has a quarterback, think what you will of Baker Mayfield, but we have a situation that we know about. He should be there for the projectable future. And I see somewhat of a runway for him to be there and remain useful. So I actually feel a lot better about that landing spot in Cleveland and Schwartz overall, and actually look at him as the type of guy that I'm going to be excited if I get, which the final thing I'll say is also with him getting that draft capital of around 91 in some of the regression trees that I will build post-draft, that's actually going to be a key number for him to get in there. If he'd slip past 100, he might be in a different cohort of players. But when you put together that whole profile now and you kind of adjust for the fact that the Dominator was pretty close, you can make a very compelling case for him. So I'm actually a pretty big fan of the landing spot for Schwartz, you know, despite the fact that you have Landry and Beckham there. Let me ask you one question, though, now. There, it looks like you had a thought, then we're going to go back because I have a Jarvis Landry question for you, but interject your thought.
Yeah, I have just one thought on Schwartz here. So, I mean, we've been, you know, obviously we're talking about rookies, and that's obviously more directed at dynasty this time of the year. But from a best ball perspective, too, when you start talking about really stacking up wide receivers from good offenses, offenses that can score a lot of points. I mean, I do think that the Browns offense is going to score a lot of points. They're going to score on the ground, but they also, you know, they face, I mean, they're going to be facing a much improved Cincinnati Bengals team. They face the Steelers twice and the Ravens twice as well. And the Browns, as good as they were last year, they get to face a third place schedule because of the way that things worked out. I mean, things are really stacked up for the Browns offense to be a sneakier than, you know, the Chiefs, sneakier than the Bills, sneakier than the Titans, but really could be a key offense to target for fantasy domination in 2021. And you like to have some of the secondary, tertiary, quaternary options and offenses like that for those spike weeks, right? And so Schwartz certainly fits the bill there. And so even from a best ball perspective, he could end up being like a very end of draft guy that would have some intrigue even as a rookie.
That's really interesting when you frame it like that. I think one of the things too with the Browns, I feel like it might be going back now like 2, maybe even 3 years. They're a team that a lot of people have been thinking is going to take a major step forward. Some people might feel like they didn't take as big of a step as they wanted, but they're definitely a team that is trending up in comparison to, you know, other landing spots that you might have had for one of these young wide receivers. So my question goes back to Jarvis Landry. With what we know about his career arc and how he has been pacing and trending the last couple of years, let's say he does get into a position where he's playing a lot more out of the slot. At this point, do you think that that is going to boost his fantasy value, at least in the short term, versus him playing more of that complete wide receiver role?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I mean, as recently as 2019, he was the wide receiver 12. He was wide receiver 12 in Cleveland. You know, I think the teams, if they have their way, they're still going to be, you know, a team that operates through the run first. They're still going to run more than most teams. But this comment about being explosive, perhaps we get more first down play action or first down passing just in general. And there's no, I mean, I don't think it's really that radical to say that Landry's the most, you know, reliable player on the offense in the passing game. I mean, we don't know if OBJ will be available in any given week. And he had an exciting game against Dallas last year. But besides that, honestly, it's hard to even pick out any signature performances from Beckham since he landed in Cleveland. And Baker seems to have much better chemistry with Landry. So if the offense takes a step forward, whether Landry goes to the slot or not, if the offense takes a step forward, I mean, Landry's probably the one that would stand to benefit the most if Baker takes that next step. He just seems to be the one that the offense kind of goes through. So whether it's shorter routes or just a, you know, bigger piece of a bigger pie, or even the same percentage of a bigger a pie, Landry is not somebody that's like dead. Like, he still has a fantasy heartbeat from my perspective. I think he's almost always, I don't know that there's ever been a year where he didn't end up being a value based off of where he was drafted. And I expect the same to be true in 2021.
Okay. So a couple of things there. Friedman and I got into a couple of arguments where I have made the case a number of times that I think Landry might be a better receiver than Odell Beckham. I won't make my full case because I've done it so many times, but some of it goes back to the fact that when they played together in college at LSU, Landry saw more usage, was able to suppress what could have been this dynamite prospect in OBJ. You know, when you saw what he did early in his career and you go back and you looked at what people were thinking him coming out of school, it's pretty interesting that Landry was able to keep him, you know, somewhat down on draft boards. You look at their career in the NFL, I think that there's been a lot more production from Landry. Now, granted, Beckham has missed games. Now we're seeing them with the Browns, and it looks like, you know, he's the player that gets to be used in more situations and actually ends up coming through for the team more often. My final point on Landry will be he's been one of my favorite players, but I think that the point that you made about the fact of him being a player that's a value at his ADP is the key. He's not the type of guy that at this point in his career, I would recommend anybody aggressively go out and try to get, maybe skip up a round on ADP for him or anything like that because of how reliable he has been. He's always been a guy that's played just about 16 games every year. You know, I think there might have been one season now where he only got 15. But that was just a key point that I want to harp on there is, though I have said that I'm a little bit lower on Landry this year than others, I'm not completely off of him, but at the same time, it's all in the context of the ADP.
Yeah, I mean, let's talk about his best ball ADP in the RotoViz FFPC ADP and exposure report. I've got him dialed up here as we close the episode. I mean, he's got a 10th round ADP. I mean, 114.8, wide receiver 42 off the board. He's gone as late as pick 12-12. Yeah, I mean, sign me up, man. If I can get Landry as like my wide receiver 5 or 6 in a best ball construct, like that's super exciting. So that's kind of a cool little bonus nugget. We didn't even plan to talk about Landry, but you've definitely got me in a good mood. And I think it's going to this positive juju around my brownies and around one of my favorite fantasy players of the past decade. And Landry, the good things to come in the next couple episodes, Dave, for sure.
Yeah, well, I had plans of keeping this episode a tight 22 minutes of discussion between us, but then Jarvis Landry got mentioned and it was guaranteed to take us off track. That does bring us to the close, though. Reminder, send us in a comment or a question at 978-615-9214. You will have a chance to win a shirt. I also want to urge you to go to rotoviz.com. Go to rotoviz.com/podcast. Use the promo code 2021RVRadio at checkout. Get a 10% discount on a 1-year subscription. And also, I know you have the time to do it. Please go leave us a 5-star review and check out all of the other podcasts we have on RotoViz Radio. Thanks for listening to the RotoViz Fantasy Football Show. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. Follow us on Twitter at DaveCabinFF and at CPatrickNFL. Email us at RotoVizFFShow@gmail.com. Visit RotoViz.com/podcast for more information on listener-only discounts. And until next time, thanks for stopping by.